22. To Madame N. D. van Wiesen, wife of the Decembrist M. A. van Wiesen. Dostoevsky had met her in Tobolsk in 1850. During his captivity, when he himself was not allowed to correspond with his brother, she was his only medium of communication with the outside world. Omsk, beginning of March 1854. At last I am writing to you, my kind N.D., after leaving my former place of abode. When I last wrote, I was sick in body and soul. I was consumed with longings, and I dare say my letter was quite senseless. That long, colourless, physically and morally difficult life had stifled me. It is always grievous to me to write letters at such times, and I regard it as cowardice to force one's sorrow on others, even when they are very fond of one. I send you this letter indirectly, and I am glad to be able to speak with you quite unconstrainedly at last, all the more because I have been transferred to Semipalatinsk, to the 7th Battalion, and therefore don't at all know in what way I may be able to correspond with you in future. Dostoevsky further discusses the question of how he may most safely correspond with his brother and with Madame van Wiesen. With what delight I read your letter, dearest N.D. You write quite admirable letters, or more precisely, your letters flow easily and naturally from your good kind heart. There are reserved and embittered natures, which only in very rare moments are expansive. I know such people. They are not necessarily bad people, quite the contrary indeed. I don't know why, but I guess from your letter that you returned home in bad spirits. I understand it. I have sometimes thought that if I ever return home, I shall get more grief than joy from my impressions there. I have not lived your life, and much in it is unknown to me, and indeed no one can really know exactly his fellow mortal's life. Still, human feeling is common to us all, and it seems to me that everyone who has been banished must live all his past grief over again in consciousness and memory on his return home. It is like a balance, by which one can test the true gravity of what one has endured, gone through, and lost. God grant you a long life. I have heard through many people that you are very religious. But not because you are religious, but because I myself have learned it and gone through it, I want to say to you that in such moments one does, like dry grass, thirst after faith, and that one finds it in the end, solely and simply because one sees the truth more clearly when one is unhappy. I want to say to you about myself that I am a child of this age, a child of unfaith and scepticism, and probably, indeed I know it, shall remain so to the end of my life. How dreadfully has it tormented me, and torments me even now, this longing for faith, which is all the stronger for the proofs I have against it. And yet God gives me sometimes moments of perfect peace. In such moments I love and believe that I am loved. In such moments I have formulated my creed, wherein all is clear and holy to me. This creed is extremely simple. Here it is. I believe that there is nothing lovelier, deeper, more sympathetic, more rational, more manly, and more perfect than the Saviour. I say to myself with jealous love that not only is there no one else like him, but that there could be no one. I would even say more. If anyone could prove to me that Christ is outside the truth, and if the truth really did exclude Christ, I should prefer to stay with Christ and not with truth. I would rather not say anything more about it. And yet, I don't know why certain topics may never be touched on in society, and why, if anyone does introduce them, it makes the others uncomfortable. Still, enough of it. I heard that you were desirous of travelling somewhere in the south. God grant that you may succeed in obtaining permission to do so. But will you please tell me when we shall be quite free, or at any rate as free as other people? Perhaps only when we no longer need freedom. For my part, I want all or nothing. In my soldier's uniform, I am the same prisoner as before. I rejoice greatly that I find there is patience in my soul for quite a long time yet, that I desire no earthly possessions and need nothing but books, the possibility of writing, and of being daily for a few hours alone. The last troubles me most. For almost 5 years I have been constantly under surveillance, or with several other people, and not 1 hour alone with myself. To be alone is a natural need, like eating and drinking. For in that kind of concentrated communism, one becomes a wholehearted enemy of mankind. The constant companionship of others works like poison or plague. And from that unendurable martyrdom, I most suffered in the last 4 years. There were moments in which I hated every man, whether good or evil, and regarded him as a thief who, unpunished, was robbing me of life. The most unbearable part is when one grows unjust, malignant, and evil, is aware of it, even reproves oneself, and yet has not the power to control oneself. I have experienced that. I am convinced that God will keep you from it. I believe that you, as a woman, have more power to forgive and to endure. Do write me a line, N.D. I am now going into a veritable desert, to Asia, and there, in Semipalatinsk, it seems to me that all my past, all memories and impressions will leave me. For the last human beings whom I still had to love, and who were like a shadow of my past, will now have to desert me. I get so dreadfully quickly used to people, and grow into my environment so tenaciously that I can never tear myself away when the time comes without great pain. I wish for you, N.D., that you may live as happily and as long as possible. If we ever meet again, we shall learn to know one another afresh, and each of us may perhaps still have many happy days. I live in constant expectancy. I am always rather ill now, and I feel that soon, very soon, something decisive must happen, that I am nearing the crucial moment of my whole life, am ripe for anything that may come, and that perhaps something tranquil and bright, perhaps something menacing, but in any case something inevitable, closely impends. Otherwise, my whole life would be a failure. Perhaps it has all been but a sick delirium. Farewell, N.D., or rather, au revoir. We'll hope, won't we, that we shall see one another again. Your D. P.S. For goodness sake, forgive this untidy, greasy letter. But on my sacred honour, I can't write without erasures. Don't be cross with me.